Welcome to Sci-Fi and Color, the podcast about science fiction, TV, and film featuring actors, directors, and writers of color. My name is Maggie.
And I'm Melissa. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at sfincolor@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Tumblr, and Twitter as sfincolor. And today we have a special guest.
The way you said that was very, like...
Ominous?
No. Okay.
Hi.
You like to introduce yourself?
My name is Angie. I know you from college.
Yeah, she's our college friend, and she is a big Firefly aficionado, as I am, so it'll be perfect for this Firefly-themed episode.
Mm-hmm. I was like, are we going to talk about how we met, or is that too extra?
Too extra.
It's too extra. Okay. Okay, so we are covering the pilot of Firefly today.
Right, so... Serenity. Not the first episode that was shown, the first episode that was meant to be shown.
So is Serenity not the pilot?
No, Serenity was created to be the pilot. But okay. Then Fox was like, this is not exciting enough. We don't like this. And so they had to make another pilot, which is the second episode, Train Job.
Oh.
I thought the pilot was pretty exciting.
Yeah.
No, I thought it was too.
How else would you know who's who? And all
what is this, Michael Bay or something? Like,
I don't know, man. I mean, Fox did many bad things to Firefly. It's very
Fox
sad.
Has done many bad things just in general.
Yeah, life is unfair.
Anyway, back on track. Anyway, so Firefly. So I had heard of the series. I had never watched it. I have still only ever seen the Serenity pilot. I've not seen anything else. Although I know you're a super fan.
Super fan is a little extreme.
Maybe extreme.
But yes, I really love Firefly. I was thinking as I was rewatching it why I loved it so much. And I think one of the reasons I love it so much is, unfortunately, the fact that it only got one season. Mm-hmm. And it never had the opportunity to turn bad.
Yes.
But also, there was so much potential. Mm-hmm. You can see the potential. All the characters have deep backstories that you really never get.
Aww. Yeah. That's what I was thinking, is that Joss Whedon is so good at ensemble casts.
Yes. This is how he shines.
Yes, because all the characters are really good.
Yeah, they're distinct, you know?
Yeah.
They're developed.
Yes, exactly.
I think the whole distinct characters thing, though, it's just a very, like the Western film genre is very much that.
Yeah.
And it was funny, because have you guys watched any Westerns before?
Not a lot of
time. I feel like it's very, like, no one watches, I mean, there's still a thing, kind of, like, Old Grit came out a while back, and, like, that Quentin Tarantino film, Hateful Eight, I think, Django Unchained, right? So, like, Western still exists, but, like, people don't, like, no one says, like, Westerns are my favorite genres, unless you're, like, an old film teacher or something. No, seriously, though. But, like, they're really good. I guess they're very, like, the story that a Western tells is, like, it's always, like, the same type of story, pretty much. Yeah. So, I guess it can be boring. But, like, the character tropes are very, like, strong. Mm-hmm. And it was funny watching this one, because, like, since I've seen Westerns, like, you can see the same tropes happening, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you have the doctor, you have the preacher, you have the lawman, which they literally call him a lawman. You have, like, the prostitute, and you have all these different characters. I feel like the only person we're missing is, like, the wealthy banker. But, like, I guess he doesn't really fit into the Firefly universe, as it were. But, like...
Not at least on their ship.
Right. So, it was, like, kind of... Oh, like, the person with the, you know, like, the captain's, like, has this, you know, deep, dark past or whatever. Yeah. Like, it's all character tropes.
He's definitely troubled.
Troubled.
Yes.
For sure. So, I don't know. It's kind of funny to see it be translated to, like, a sci-fi type of setting. It's not the first time anyone's trying to mesh... has tried to, like, mix up Western and sci-fi together. But, like, I don't know. It was fun.
It felt like something that had never been done before, though. Like, it's just so unique.
It has much more of a Western feel
than
other
sci-fi.
Right,
that's exactly what I was going to say. Like, there are space Westerns. That's, a mini-genre. It's a sub-genre. But usually it's more space than Western.
Right.
They focus on the, like, the exploration part of the Western, but they don't really get into the nitty-gritty
of the frontier feel of what
a Western is. And this really gets into, like, you can hear it in the music, you can hear it in the tone. It's just
great. Yeah, like, the clothing choices, like, they had horses in, like, the second half of this. Like, it doesn't get much more Western than that.
No.
All you need is, like,
shootout.
I mean, like, everything, right? It's funny because, like, I know Star Trek was pitched as a space western, like, he totally didn't make it a space western. He's like, Gene Roddenberry was like, imagine Star Trek to be like, there was like a popular TV show at the time. I think it was called like something Wagon. Anyway, it was something weird like that. It was like, oh yeah, Wagon to the Stars or something. I was like, I mean, it doesn't really have much of a Western influence. Like, like every once in a while, maybe. But, nah.
No, but this is heavily steeped in Western genre.
Yeah.
So when did you first discover Firefly? Do you remember, like, what year?
I know exactly when I discovered Firefly. I put it on my calendar and I celebrated every year.
Oh, God.
No, I remember very distinctly because there was a marathon on TV, which I had recorded because I was in the middle of Buffy. Mm-hmm. And nice. I was like, I have to get my hands on Firefly, which everyone was telling me to watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was still in the middle of Buffy because I made those 7 seasons last about 8 months. But Firefly, it was on my TV recorded. And I sat down. It was like 11:30 or 12 at night. It was March 2011.
You do know. This
no.
marked in your calendar.
So this was like right before I met you.
Correct.
Okay.
And
it was fresh. The fandom was fresh. Okay.
Well, it wasn't fresh.
No,
it was fresh
for
me.
You. I don't mean like in general. Yeah.
It was already, you know, very old at that point. Yeah. Somewhat old at that point. But I sat down and I was just only going to watch like the first 10 or 15 minutes and I ended up sitting there and watching the entire first episode of Serenity, which made me, I was like, yes. The reason I remember so clearly when it was is because the rest of the show I binged when I had the flu. Mm-hmm. And I remember that very distinctly because I missed a week of school and
spent it with Firefly.
I spent it with Firefly, which honestly is a great way to spend any time off you have.
What about you, Angie? When did you first discover Firefly?
I feel like it's around the same time. We both watched Buffy and Firefly. We discovered Joss Whedon separately at the same time. Because it was like, my senior year. And I, after Buffy, I was like, what else is there by this person?
Yeah.
And also, I think after Dr. Horrible.
Dr. Horrible was so good.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll put a link to it in the show notes, but that is a great, like, I guess it's like a mini series?
It's a web series.
Yeah, it is a web series.
Actually, that was the first, I mean, technical Joss Whedon thing I'd ever seen. I saw it in my biology class in 10th grade.
Wait, who showed what?
There was a long story with my biology teacher who ended up getting fired before the end of the year. let's not get into that.
Okay, I want to hear the story later.
That's long story short, he only showed the first 2 acts, and we were going to watch the 3rd act the next day, and then he was
fired?
No, it wasn't that. But we never, he was like, oh, we'll watch it another time, and so of course I had to go home and watch it, and I was like, oh my god!
Isn't there cursing in that? I feel like as a teacher, I don't know. Maybe
he was a quote-unquote cool teacher.
Oh god.
The thing I remember about Dr. Horrible is that it was during the writer's strike. That's why he made it.
Right.
Yeah.
Because he wanted to do
some
something.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really cool.
Was Nathan Fillion not... I thought, though, if you're an actor who's... okay. I'm, like, misremembering the rules of writer's strikes, but okay. I guess he made it work, so...
Yeah, he made it work.
Because I'm pretty sure Neil Patrick Harris and Nathan Fillion are, you know... SAG, AFTRA, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Part of the Actors Union. But I'm sure it's probably because it's not a major production or something. That's why it doesn't matter. I don't know how the rules are.
It was back in the olden days when the internet was still fresh.
Yeah. Hold on, that was 2008, right?
Yeah.
Oh my god, it's been 9 years.
Yeah.
It's been 9 years.
And fun fact, Nathan Fillion and Neil Patrick Harris have not aged. Actually, I don't think Felicia Day has either.
No, she hasn't.
Nathan Fillion has aged.
He has, but not proportionately to how many years have passed.
Yeah,
that's true.
But he looks so young in Firefly.
Yeah.
He's like baby-faced and I'm like, oh my gosh, you're so cute.
Young. That was in 2000, when was the film? 2000?
2002, 2003.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a long time ago.
So, should we get into Firefly?
Let's do it.
Alright, so... beginning. I didn't really start taking notes until, like...
Well, what did you think overall?
Well, so this is my second time watching it. The first time I watched it was with you guys in college in, like, 2015 or 14 or something, I think. I don't even know when it was. It was something called. And I remember I was very confused by the intro scene. Because I was like, what is happening? What? Space battle? What? you know what it kind of reminded me of? And I know Firefly came first, but it kind of reminded me of the very first episode of the new Sherlock series, BBC Sherlock, where that also starts off with, like, gunfire and war, and then it's shown... Oh, it wasn't, like, a dream sequence in this pilot, but it was a dream sequence or a nightmare or flashback or whatever. In Sherlock, and it opened with that, and it was, like, kind of disorienting and confusing. But because I'd seen it before, it was easier for me to understand what was happening, and I think I was a lot more awake. I think I was very tired when I first watched it. I was wondering what was going on with, like, the younger soldier in the beginning scene. I know he wasn't, like, super important. But I was like, is he supposed to be important? I don't remember him being important. But it was giving you some backstory about Mal, I guess is what they call him, right?
Yeah.
And Zoe, and how they were in the same unit together.
I mean, it really sets up the universe.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It gets right into the action.
Yeah.
Right.
And you get the tone, exactly.
Mm,
you get
yes.
the lighthearted banter in the very severe circumstances.
It's a war.
Right, yes. Right. It's gonna be dark at times, but it's not gonna be like super grim dark, like awful.
Right.
And also, you start off with like a fallen hero, like they
right.
yeah.
they're on the wrong side of the war, or not the wrong side, but they're on
the losing
side.
Yeah,
you know, and I feel like
which is more interesting.
Yeah, that's definitely more interesting.
Yeah, because they expect that I don't who did they say was gonna save them. Who's gonna save them?
Well, it's just basically whatever
the
resistance was.
Okay.
I don't remember what they're called. But
the resistance.
Yeah. yeah, whatever they are. But they're at the Battle of Serenity Hill, I guess.
Mm.
So, I wonder why Serenity is called Serenity.
Mm. and then they lose one of their men. Or, I mean, I guess they lose a bunch of them, but we physically see, like, one of the guys dead in the corner.
Yeah.
And, like, help is not coming. They've been abandoned.
Yeah.
Et cetera. And then we cut to 6 years later, I think.
Yeah.
I feel like the whole 6 years later title card is very played out at this point. Like, I feel like people don't do that anymore. Like, with time skips and time jumps, like...
I don't know.
I feel like people are finding... Maybe I'm wrong, because I haven't seen... I've been watching that much TV or that much fiction stuff recently, but, like, I don't know. Scripted? Whatever.
Yeah.
But it's, I feel like people are doing different... Or doing, like, time skips in different ways. They're not doing the 6 years later title cards.
I think
stuff.
It's more common than it used to be then to start where the TV series wants to actually begin the story and then kind of integrate the flashbacks throughout.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like,
I would agree with
a la,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Arrow and Once Upon a Time and other ones I can't think of at this moment.
Yeah.
Mm. This Is Us. Kind of. I never watched This Is Us. I don't know if that's true.
Totally just made that up.
But yeah, no, it's... I can see that, but I do... I mean, I watch enough TV to definitely see that as well.
No, I don't think it's completely disappeared or anything. And
yeah.
It needs it. But I mean, like, in newer stuff.
Yeah.
Is what I mean. Like, they change... Like, they integrate flashbacks more.
Yeah.
But
it really starts you off on such, like, a high note. It gets you into the action,
yeah,
and you're confused,
yes,
but you're also, like...
Intrigued.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly...
It's the hook.
Right.
You gotta hook them in.
Yeah, I remember the same confusion, though. I was like, why are we... What's happening? Why are we
Did
fighting?
I miss first episode?
Yeah.
But it was good.
Yeah.
And then we cut to... I can't remember what we directly cut to after that. Is it Kaylee or something in the ship?
It's...
What did we cut to?
I don't remember. I feel like it's them, like, on a planet. I don't remember.
Oh, isn't it when they're getting the food, the shipment?
Oh, yes, they're
in
space.
Yeah, they're
space.
In their little space suits
yes,
and stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Because I was just like, what is happening? And then we see there's like a general, like a slow reveal of the ship and such.
Yeah.
Hold on. Maybe this is too spoilerific for the future episodes, but like, do we know why they're called Fireflies? That class of ship? Or does that not matter?
It's because the butt lights up. and it's designed to look like a bug.
Oh my god.
Ask a
point
stupid
taken.
Question.
Well, I don't think it was a stupid question, but okay.
There are no such thing as stupid questions.
Anyway. Oh, why did it just...
No, but you... Then we get the slow introduction of the ensemble, which is where Joss Whedon is...
He excels.
This is where he belongs.
This is his element.
He should just write beginnings. Yes. Because
he
integrates the cast so effortlessly, or at least that's the way it feels.
No, it's hard. I feel like when you introduce an ensemble, sometimes it's so freaking awkward. But there was never a moment when I was watching it that I was like, oh, this is like feels very stilted or weird. Like it all flows really well.
It was so good. And each of the characters is distinctive, even though this is only the first episode.
Yeah.
And it also is kind of like a melting pot kind of thing. Like, you just put all of these people in one thing. What's going to happen? Like, how are they going to interact with each other?
But that's, like, every Western ever. Because, like, I just think of Stagecoach. That was, I think that Stagecoach was the first Western I've seen. And, like, the film teachers at my school love watching Stagecoach. So I've seen it, like, at least twice. And it's like, oh, what happens when you put a prostitute, wealthy banker, preacher, outlaw, you know, except a cowboy, all in one stagecoach.
Yeah.
And it's a vessel, so it's kind of similar to the whole ship metaphor thing, too. And you're going through dangerous land, you're going to be attacked, blah, blah, blah. So, like, again, going back to that Western, genre, it's just how it's structured. But, yeah, it's, like...
When I was watching it the second time, like, this time, it was, like, more characters kept being introduced, and I was like, oh, my God, I forgot about them. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. They kept being more and more.
Yeah, they kept coming. It's a huge ensemble.
Yeah.
And for them to introduce everyone in the first episode
is pretty good.
It's impressive. But it's done extremely well. Like, you finish this episode and you have a decent idea of who each of the characters is.
Mm-hmm.
And they each have a richness to their life.
Yes.
They feel developed. They feel important to them. Like, they're the main characters of their own story.
Right.
Yes.
And unlike a lot of shows, and it is maybe because it is only one season, but they're relatively consistent throughout the season. Like, there are a lot of shows which, you know, the first few episodes, the characters are kind of funky.
And then they work it out.
Yeah, then they work out, okay, this is what they sound like, this is, you know, this is the accent that this person's going to use, this is whatever. And things kind of fall into place better.
I feel like when you watch a Joss Whedon thing, you feel like he's already planned a lot of things out. Like,
there are 10 seasons planned. Like, you feel that.
He knows who these people are and who they're going to be.
Yeah. It was canceled after one season.
But that's the beauty of it.
It is.
It's like, because very easily this could have gone into places that would have been not good.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
definitely.
Let me ask you this for Angie.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen Serenity, the movie, right? Without spoilers, do you consider that canon?
I love Serenity, the movie. I do. And canon, yeah.
I don't.
I don't know. Because it's a continuation of the story.
It is, yeah.
And it fills a lot of... ties up a lot of loose ends that the show left, you know?
Yeah. But it never felt developed enough to feel integrated into that world. And also, there are characters who died, and I do not approve.
Yeah. I think it definitely felt more like a space movie than a Western. Like, the show's for sure Western.
Yeah.
But the movie's more, like, spacey.
Yeah, I mean...
But...
I'm glad it exists.
Yeah, I'd rather have it than not, but... I don't know, it could, like, another season to finish it up would have been nice, but...
Yeah, I mean, people were trying for so many years to get another season of Firefly, and at this point, it's too late.
It's too late.
The people are too old, people are doing different things, and some people have...
Yes, with all these revivals...
Unless they reboot it, but then, is it the same?
Sometimes things need to stay dead.
Yes.
It ended, it was good. That is it all.
So,
I mean, it was kind of rebooted.
Was it?
Dark Matter.
By the Canadians.
But Dark Matter is totally inspired by it.
It's like its spiritual successor.
Yeah. But it's like a completely different beast.
Yeah, it's a completely different show. It's in a different universe. It tackles different issues. But it feels like it does feel like it's the related. Successor.
Yeah. Yes. Like, whoever made that, for sure, has seen Firefly.
Was obsessed with Firefly and wrote fan fiction of Firefly.
It's you. You created Dark.
How did you know?
She's not Canadian, though.
How do you know?
No, you're not Canadian. Eh?
Eh?
Oh, my God.
Zed.
But, I mean, except for, like, they have an ugly, ugly title card for Dark Matter. Firefly's title card is beautiful.
But I will give Dark you that Matter Firefly is beautiful, but Dark Matter is fine.
It's fine.
It's the sufficient.
Title card is so ugly. It's like something from the 90s.
Yeah,
but I mean that in the worst way.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's nostalgic.
It's like some freaking Animorphs. Like,
yeah, and it does look like Animorphs.
It's so bad. It's so bad. Okay, getting back to Firefly.
But wait, let me just say one more thing.
Okay.
If you are listening to this and you're like, wow, I love Firefly, and you've never seen Dark Matter, go watch Dark Matter. That's all. Continue, yes. Maggie.
And we did a podcast episode on Dark Matter, so nice plug. You can check that out after. I'm always going to plug back to our old episodes if I can. So, I have a question for you guys, and hopefully this won't go super long, but do most of the memes that come, like, that are, like, do most of the Firefly memes come from the pilot?
Yes. No? I realized that there were a lot of things from the first episode that are, like, popular.
Because that's the thing that I've seen everywhere. I know that one.
I feel
and
like
shiny, but like I guess they use that. Throughout
that that's show. Consistently used throughout, and like a lot of the like the vocab, like the verse or whatever, is used throughout the show.
I didn't know that the verse came from Firefly, but yeah.
Anyway, a lot of the.
The
memes
from, like, the
do
episode, right?
come from the first episode because I think it's made to be more distinctive.
Oh, I see.
So there are things like each character deserves their own special open. Like, curse your sudden but inevitable betrayal is like, how could you open Wash better than that?
With little dinosaurs.
Yeah, playing little dinosaurs.
Yeah,
beautiful.
I love the shot where he just sweeps them off the table to get to the important stuff.
You know, something I noticed in the episode also is, like, these people, I mean, all shows have this, whatever, Western, they really have costumes. Like, they're very distinct. Like, you know, like, they wear, it's not always the same thing, but it's very similar. Like, you can recognize
They have
it.
A style.
Yeah, and it, like, I don't know, it defines their character a little bit. I mean, it matches their character.
Yeah.
Good wardrobe will do that. I think I wrote something, it's like, small notes. But the whole Gray Alliance uniforms, I didn't know that they were some kind of totalitarian regime. But once I read that, I was like, oh, I'm not surprised. They had, like, the gray, boring berets and, like, uniform things. That,
gray,
like,
boring berets, give it away.
I mean, that seems to be the standard totalitarian regime uniform, apparently, in sci-fi land. So,
yeah.
Anyway.
No, but it's... I think as the show goes on, it's even more heavily implied that the Alliance is not A-okay.
Mm-hmm.
But given that our main characters are on the wrong side of the conflict, a rebellion against the Alliance, essentially, that does give you a good indication in the first episode that maybe things aren't going hunky-dory, and also they're experimenting on River.
Yeah,
one of those.
Kind of bad. So the thing with Firefly that I think I kind of first heard about it was because for a Chinese-inspired world, there's a distinct lack of Asians in it. So I think I heard a lot about that when I first heard about it. So I was kind of like, I don't know how I feel about getting into a show that I might enjoy a lot, but, like, it's kind of, like, weird with their cultural appropriation or whatnot. I also did hear that Kaylee was supposed to be a Chinese or an Asian actress, and they just didn't cast one, which is, like, whatever. Like,
Kaylee was also supposed to be overweight, I think.
Really?
I remember that. Reading that somewhere. I don't know where. Mm-hmm. But.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I definitely noticed that there were more POC at the docks than any other time in the episode. And also, I cannot get over how bad the Chinese is in this show. Like, it's so bad. It's so bad.
I like the idea of incorporating, like, that kind of weird
but you gotta do it
lingo,
right.
But yeah, it's not
they
done
did not
well.
Do it right. They did not... No cares were given.
Well, let me...
Or very few cares were given.
Let me at least devil's advocate for the language issues because
sure you can there's ways to get around it
I would say that yes it should have definitely been done better But the way I was thinking about it when I first watched the show, because, like, you could clearly hear that their accents weren't, like, A-OK.
Yeah.
That's the word of the day.
A-OK. I mean, yeah. Like, you don't even speak Chinese.
Yeah, yeah, wrong. No, you can definitely hear.
Yeah.
It's wrong.
Yeah. But they, like, weren't necessarily born into that. It was something that was, like,
adopted.
Lingo that they took as
right,
their own.
Right.
So, like, we use a lot of really poor languages. Like, we
right.
mispronounce words because we've appropriated it into English.
Sure,
yeah.
Sure.
So that's the way I kind of thought about it. But
yeah.
I can definitely understand why they should have given it a lot more care.
Yeah, no. I understand that.
I also
it's just like,
are they just cursing? I've never looked up what they were actually saying.
Aya's not a curse.
I don't know what
like,
they're saying.
Aya's just like a general exclamation like crap or something.
Yeah.
But it's like it could mean a bunch of different things. It's just like it's just a general exclamation. I don't know how else to explain it.
Yeah.
But
I mean the show definitely needed more any Asian characters.
I just it was like but like I for me, like the random Chinese exclamations didn't add anything. Like, it didn't add anything to me. I guess it was trying to be like, oh, like, look at, we're futuristic and, like, have incorporated foreign language into our slang. But, like, it didn't do anything for me.
Well, the whole backstory is that America basically coalesces with China on Earth. And
that's
funny. And they become, like, one massive empire or something. And then, you know, they do space exploration and everything changes. But they're, like,
right.
the core. So it's like a mishmash of America and China.
That we only see the American part of.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is obviously a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get it. I feel like, you know, not that they did it much better, but like, to talk about Into the Badlands real quick for a second. I like how they incorporated like, well, you know, they do it here too. They have them wearing like kind of like Asian inspired outfits. But like, Badlands really takes it like really far into that. Realm. Like, they really have people in, like, Asian-inspired outfits. Except for, like, I guess except for the Barons. But anyway, we're gonna
Badlands also has, like, a main character that is Asian.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's definitely more culturally aware.
And MK is, like, half Asian. Although he can pass for white, I guess. But, yeah. Anyway, back to Firefly. I don't know. The Chinese was distracting. I hesitate to call it Chinese. But the Chinese was distracting. Although I tried to write some of the phrases down, but I could not decipher what they were meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
I
wonder if the show had lasted longer, whether we would have gotten
more of
that, like, not just of Asian characters, but, like, of that kind of origin
right.
as well. I mean, obviously,
what happened to Earth,
right, exactly.
America, and
yeah.
China.
You know, we're just kind of projecting onto what can never be.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
So, we have no idea.
Did they make a graphic novel? Because I know they did that for Buffy.
Yes, they did. They did. They've done some. I looked at a few. I'm not really into the graphic novels, or, you know, the graphic continuations of TV shows. It never really have been, but, I mean, it does exist.
Yeah. I had a thought about... Oh, yeah. So, like, I know, like, Joss Whedon has been called out on this before in the past.
Yes.
I think he was trying to be better about it. I mean, especially after... Oh, doesn't he have a sister-in-law who's, like, Asian?
Yes.
So, like, I think he got a little bit better after that happened.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. I feel like I have some more thoughts about that, but I'm sure I'll get back to it.
There's, So in Dr. Horrible, they made a commentary musical.
Oh yeah, that's
about
the thing
it.
I'm talking about.
Yeah. And in the commentary musical, there's a song called "Nobody's Asian in the Movies."
Okay. Well,
sung by the sister-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
And it's. I wonder how self-aware he would have gotten in that time period of Firefly. I think he has gotten better. That said, of course. He hasn't really done much recently.
Right.
I mean,
right.
in the realm of TV, this kind of genre.
Stuff, yeah. Something that feels purely
his. Right, exactly. He hasn't done something him in a while.
Right.
He's been in, you know, playing in other universes.
Cough.
Other verses.
Oh, God. I thought that for the... Seeing as the show was shot, or whatever, released in 2002-ish?
Yeah.
2003? It has aged pretty well. Like,
yes.
Honestly, there's some shows that you're like, oh my god, I know this is from the freaking 90s.
Yeah.
And it still has, like, you can still tell it was, like, early 2000s, but it's really not, it's not so bad as to be cringeworthy. You know what I mean? When something is, like, really obviously dated to a certain era, it's like, but, like, honestly, I was like, this is pretty good. Like, I'm not feeling like, oh, this feels very old or outdated or anything, even though it is, like, 15 years old at this point.
They did it in a way that kind of utilized their small budget.
Right.
In a way that doesn't feel like they were taking away from the story. Like, I think about Once Upon a Time CGI,
Jesus.
And that is the worst thing in the entire universe, even, like, as it was airing. But it is even worse than that. When people look back on it, it is going to age so poorly. Oh, my goodness. I can't wait.
I actually thought the CGI was pretty good.
No, the CGI in Firefly is pretty good because I think it's minimal.
Yeah. Right. They didn't do too much.
Yeah, and I think that really worked for them.
Yeah.
It looks good, and I think the way that the characters talk, because they talk so smart, mm-hmm. it also aged well that way.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And they don't look super 2000, early 2000s either. You know, like, I guess hairstyle and clothing-wise. It feels kind of timeless.
Yeah.
But I think also, like, Westerns in general, like, they can be translated into different time periods, so that works mm-hmm. towards their favor. But yeah, I like that it didn't feel super dated to me. Because, like, sometimes when I'm watching stuff like that, it's like, even Dark Matter feels dated to me, man. And it's not It's not even that old, but it feels dated to me. It feels older than it is.
I think it's because it's trying to evoke, like, an earlier time period.
Yeah.
But, well, I don't know if it's trying to. I don't think that was the intent.
Some of the feeling is. But I don't get that from Dark Matter. But Firefly, it works.
Yeah.
There were some weird cuts in this episode that I was like, I don't know how I feel about, like, the editing. Overall, it was good. There was just some, like, weird moments where I'm just like, editing's not working for me right now. I don't know if I can point to any specific things. If I remember, I will.
There are some weird shots.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is a Whedonism.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
But was he directing this as well?
I don't know if he directed
it. Because directing is different from, you know, being a writer or producer.
I don't know if he directed this episode. I don't remember. But it is something that comes across in all of his, like,
work. It wasn't, like, super bad. It was just, like, there were a couple moments that I was like, what? Why did you do this thing?
Well, I mean, there were a lot of moments. It was funny, because when I was watching it, I was like, what this episode is trying to do is mess with your expectations.
Yes.
It's mm-hmm. continually trying to confuse you and go against what you expect. The perfect example of that is, you know, towards the end of the episode when, you know, Kaylee's hand falls down like she's
yeah,
died.
Yeah, so dumb.
And then, you know,
because that messed me up too. Because, like, not even, like, because, I mean, yes, this was the second time I watched it. But the first time I was like, or at least, I mean, thinking about it now, and I didn't remember what happened. I was like, okay, they just had a perfectly fine conversation. But then they did the hand drop as if she was dying, even though she clearly
was slurring
fine.
Her words. And
she didn't seem great, but it didn't seem like she was, like,
I totally fell for it the first time, for mm-hmm. sure.
And I was like, but it was too sudden for it to be a real death, you know what I mean? Like, they would have played it out more if it was, I don't know.
But
I think traditionally
you don't know the show yet. You don't know.
Yeah, you don't know that Kaylee is going to be a main character quite as well.
And you also
right.
don't know how they do things, like how.
No, but, like, in terms of, like, conventions of, like, filming and TV, it was too sudden. Like, in TV, when a main character dies, they don't just, like, kill him off and, like, bye. Like, they make an extended thing of it.
Well,
like, it wasn't
in the first episode. I can't remember which show this is. I think it was a Joss Whedon show where they don't run the opening credits in the first episode because they kill off what looks to be a quote-unquote main character early on.
Mm.
Because, like, in the first episode. But you're supposed to think that he's going to be a main character. I can't remember what show this is.
I mean, there's only a few shows.
Yeah, I know. There aren't a lot of options. I can't. Maybe it's not a show from him. But it was really interesting because it's...
I mean, you can subvert, people do, but I think generally, like, if you watch enough TV, you can feel out the beats of a story, you know? So, I was like, the beats are all wrong, if this mm-hmm. is supposed to be a death scene.
Yeah.
The fake out, it kind of works with the fake out, because you're like, oh, wait, they did the hand drop thing.
Yeah.
So, like, maybe she is dead, but nah.
I think that one doesn't age as well.
Yeah, the hand drop was a little weird.
But there were a lot of times where they played with your expectations that it totally worked.
Mm.
And here is when I give you an
example.
I am
looking forward to seeing it, but I don't want to be spoiled.
Okay.
I mean, were you going to spoil me?
No, I wasn't going to spoil you.
Okay.
But I can't think of a good example from this episode.
Okay.
I think the way that they do it, though, like, the messing with your expectations is, like, a little bit subtly. Like, with Jane and the giving the... letting out the law guy.
Yeah.
You don't explicitly see him do that. You're not sure...
Right, exactly. Right, you don't know.
But you're...
Which is nice, I like
that. Yeah, I like that.
Because it's building up, like, will he or won't he betray him in the future, in this season, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, and when they have, like, the sniper, and he's pointing the rifle towards Mal, and then he moves it. You're like,
I was just laughing a little bit, because I think he had the scope pointed towards his eye that was closed, and I was like, what is going on here? But whatever, they cut away pretty quickly from that, so I guess it's fine. I mentioned this to you the first time I watched it, but, you know, the good old 1960s Vaseline lens when the companion shows up on screen, Inara, right? Her name's Inara.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, anytime it's like, some pretty lady, let's, like, make everything blurry. Like... to go back to my first sci-fi love, Star Trek. Like, they used to do that in, like, the old Star Trek, like, films. Anytime Captain Kirk would see his love interest of the day, it would, like, just instantly go blurry. They would literally put Vaseline on the lens. Like, they literally did that.
I can't see. The beauty is too much.
Yes, exactly.
Basically.
But, I mean, what did you think of Inara?
She seems... pretty cool. I mean, obviously there's some deeper stuff going on with her and the captain, but I like her. I like that she stands up for herself and doesn't let, you know, I mean, you know, she's doing the best of what she has, because I feel like obviously people are like, again, like, everything goes back to the Western tropes. Like, she's the same, like, in the Western movies, films, whatever, you have the prostitute who is, you know, has a heart of gold and is really a good person, even though people treat her horribly because she's a prostitute and blah 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 blah. So, like, it's the same thing.
Right.
It's the same thing.
But I liked how they set up conflict, which was even resolved in this episode. Where, like, it wasn't huge, but, like, the conflict between Inara and the Preacher.
Yes.
Like, that was well played out throughout the episode. It was consistent, but not the biggest thing.
Right.
It was so.
But it was satisfying. Yeah. Their conversation at the end, it really kind of brought everything home.
I think it was more impactful to me the first time I watched it. I don't know why it was a little bit more dull this time around. Maybe because I knew it was going to happen. But yeah, no, I like her as a character.
It's definitely more interesting that she spends the majority of this episode with Book. Like, rather than anyone else.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So, it's...
I love her banter with Mal, though.
Yes.
It's so good.
Sorry, this is kind of... I know we're kind of going back and forth here, but when they dock in...
Persephone?
Is that what it was called?
Yes.
Yeah, when they dock... I thought... Okay, I guess that makes sense. When they dock in Persephone, one thing I noticed, and I was like, oh my god, this is even worse than I remembered. I'm pretty sure we passed by a sign... of people, a vendor selling street meat, and it said good dog. And I was like, no, Joss, don't do this. Don't do this to Chinese people. Don't do this right now. So that kind of made me cringe a little bit. I did notice the Blue Sun logo. That's the corporation, right? Or whatever.
Yeah.
Although we don't get anything about that in the pilot. I'm sure we'll learn more about it later. I don't know if that's the corporation that you guys were talking about with, like, the weird merging of China and the U.S., or if that's a completely separate thing.
I don't know.
Okay. I mean, I guess it's not a big thing if you don't remember it.
I don't really remember. But this was a series that I loved so much that I purposefully tried not to rewatch too often. Mm-hmm. So that I can rewatch it with fresh eyes each time I watch it.
I see.
So I haven't rewatched it in a few years. So I am fuzzy on the whole show itself. Yeah. Because I'm one to rewatch things until they become stale and then they're gone forever.
Yeah. I definitely felt that watching this episode, because I haven't watched it in years either, and I'm like, I love this show. I forgot how much I love this show.
So I think they start talking, they just start dropping hints about Reavers and like who and what they are in this episode. Which again made me think of Dark Matter, which I know came after, but I was thinking about like the Raza or whatever in that series.
I mean, they do a really good job in this episode foreshadowing the rest of this season. The conflicts which are going to arise, you know, they already are building the foundations of them. You know, we've got Jane, we've got, you know, the Simon feeling he doesn't really belong on the ship, and we don't really know if he does, and the beginnings of River, you know, and what her issues are.
Yeah, I really want to know more about River. It's just really
don't we all?
No, like, the way they set it up is really good.
Yeah, there's a lot of mystery going on there, and there are, you do, the show moves at a pace where you do get some answers.
Right. Right.
You don't get all the answers.
Right.
But you do get some answers. And, I mean, I can appreciate that at least.
Yeah. I like the stuff going on with the set. Like that scene where Mal is in the bathroom and he pulls out the sink. That's, like, so cool. I love that so much. It's, like, future.
It's future, but also gritty.
Yeah. Like, this is an old, like, it's a rust bucket, basically. Yeah. The ship's a rust bucket.
It's a Millennium Falcon.
I did not understand, I just wrote down the word, I didn't write down the quote, the comment about back birth, I don't know what the heck that means, but whatever.
I would need a slightly more context.
Yeah, I need more context. I was like, what?
I don't know, I wouldn't, yeah.
I guess I don't have that many issues with this episode, I think one of the few ones I did was like, everyone just happens to be at the scene of whatever, you know, incident is going on at the same time for no reason whatsoever, unless it's like a small enough ship that you can hear when like something's going down, then that would make sense. But like, for instance, when Kayla gets shot, and then later on there's another thing too, I'm trying to remember, maybe it's when
it's not a big ship,
right? I know it's not a big ship, but it's like whenever something happens everyone starts running to the scene. I'm like,
it's quite a big commotion.
It is, yeah.
Maybe I just chalk it up to the size of the ship and you can hear what's going on.
Yeah.
But I guess I'm used to, you know, in sci-fi people being on humongous spaceships where, like, you have to call down for someone. You just don't just randomly wander around and be like, oh, let me just see what's going on in this this huge fight in the rec room or whatever it is. But anyway, I guess it could be explained away by, like, the fact that it's a small ship.
It could be, yeah.
I just was like, what's Inara doing here? Like, I think when she saw that Kaylee was shot, I was like, where did you come from?
Did you go?
I'm not.
Thank you, Angie.
I'm not going to finish it. Thank you. Angie did.
Like, the whole flow of the episode is really good.
Yeah.
So much happens.
Yeah.
It feels like they're constantly moving. There's constantly new things happening. It's an hour and a half episode, but it is packed with juicy moments.
And they set up tons of different, like, villains or obstacles for them.
Yes.
Yeah.
You've got the badger, the whoever that person is, the shootout lady.
Patience. We got the Alliance.
Yeah.
We got the Reavers.
Yeah.
And there's just,
and then there's the conflict within their ship.
Right.
Yep.
It's all good. It's all good stuff.
A lion.
Alliance.
Think of myself as Alliance. But I do have a mighty roar.
Oh my god.
That was a reference.
Was it? I did not. I don't know what that's a reference to.
I know.
Either.
To another episode of Firefly.
There was some good stuff with, like, cinematography and lighting. Like, that weird, I guess it was close to the brig where they kept the lawman in. And then also, I guess it's near Inara's quarters too, but that weird yellow lighting coming through the panels was kind of cool.
I think that's consistent. I think it's,
is it? Okay. It,
like, the rest of the show, it's like that with the yellow.
Yeah, I don't know. I like that. And then I think there was a part where, or maybe this was during the fight between Simon and the lawman, but or maybe it was there was some fight scene. Oh no! This is the scene where Mal tells Simon that Kaylee's dead.
Yes.
Where, like, after he says that, like, Simon's vision goes all fuzzy.
Yeah.
And because he's, like, shocked or whatever.
Yeah.
Which I really enjoyed that. That was, like, really, that was a really nice touch. So, I don't know, cool cinematography, stuff like that. I enjoyed. I remember the first time I watched it, I could not get over any of the scenes with Inara in it because I was like, it's doing some weird documentary shaky cam weirdness. Yeah. But it didn't bother me as much this time around, so maybe I was just being overly critical. I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know what it was.
But I was just thinking as you were talking about more more instances where they were defying expectations, like Inara being having the option of getting away from this life, and then she's like, you know, this and then Kaylee's like, how many people offered to, you know, sweep you away from this awful life?
Oh yeah.
Right. Or like even like Simon is played up as the bad guy when he gets on the ship.
Yes,
I love
the sunglasses.
The glasses are amazing.
The sunglasses, the whole like, let's like film him like looking around his shoulders and like whatnot.
And a mysterious giant box.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And then when they open it up, you're like, oh my gosh, like it's like a prostitute or something. It's and then all of a sudden,
it's my sister. What?
It just. It plays with what you expect it to do extremely well. I think that's one of the reasons why I love it so much.
Yeah. I love when they touch down on the planet to meet patients, and there's that classic, just that bird cry that screams, Western!
entering Western territory.
Like, yeah, basically. I made a snide comment to you while we were watching the ending about how PayPal doesn't exist in this universe. And, you know, they can't pay patients and, like, you know, safely get out. Because where else would you get, like, a fun, fantastic gun shoot? Not if you had PayPal. So, PayPal doesn't exist in this universe.
But then maybe, she wouldn't want to give them money immediately because she doesn't know about where the goods are, so she'd have to pay half first, and then, I don't know.
Yeah.
People are very untrustworthy.
I was going to say something about RuneScape, but then I thought better of that comment, so I will not.
I'll let you thank you for thinking better.
But I love the costuming of, like, patients and our crew. Like, it was very much, like, Western.
Yeah.
Especially the top hat. I was like, that top hat is so much. And then later on it comes in, like, he's like, top hat.
Top hat guy.
No,
but I love also that Patience is really written as a three-dimensional character. We see her for so little time, but she's referenced throughout the episode as, oh, that girl, that woman who shot Mal. Like, they bring it up multiple times, so it feels like you're already in the inside joke.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's a tough old lady who is apparently mayor of the planet?
Essentially mayor.
So, yeah. It's kind
of
great.
Yeah, and you get a good feeling of, like, who she is.
Yeah, you don't mess with her.
And also, Mal, like, she shot me once, but we're good now.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it's okay.
Yeah.
She's got the monies.
Yeah, exactly. Mal, when I first watched Firefly, I had very mixed feelings about Mal. Because he's not really a protagonist.
He's just a jerk.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He's a really interesting character.
Yes.
Yeah, because, like, I was going to say reverend, but he's not a reverend. Doesn't the shepherd say it where he's like, oh, yeah, like, you care about your... Oh, what's
crew.
But, like, you're also a douchebag.
It might have been Simon. I don't remember. Yeah.
Someone says that to him in this episode.
Yeah, and it's very true. He cares so much about his crew that he's willing to make, you know, basically like the father thing, like, I'm willing to make you unhappy to do what's best for you.
Oh my god. Yeah. And I mean again it's just the way they shoot horses is just great. I love it. It's so dramatic. It just makes...
Wait, do you mean shoot it with a camera or shoot with a gun?
No not shooting with a gun. They didn't shoot any of the horses, but
they did
with... oh yeah, that's true.
It was unclear, Maggie.
With their video cameras, Melissa.
The eye roll is audible.
Yeah. But it was just done very well. The camera work is so good. And like the horses just add so much drama to the scene. And it's a Western, so everything's just great.
Yeah, it really fits the mood. Did you have a favorite character? I mean, obviously you've only seen one episode, but what about you, Angie?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I have a character who is me. I am Kaylee. Thank you very much.
Are you? I don't know what it is. I just really don't like Kaylee. But,
sorry. This friendship can no longer work.
No. It's not even, like, her character's fine. I just think I don't like the way that her voice actress talks, I think. I think that bothers me. Mm. But that's just, like, a weird thing. I mean, like, the character herself is fine. I guess I'm kind of, like, with the other crew members, like, why is she so freaking bubbly all the time? Oh, my God, I want to strangle her. But...
Oh, my God!
But, like, it's a lot.
It's getting real in here. Can you feel the tension?
There's no tension. No, but I do like that she was very welcoming and was able to, you know, it's, like, open to like Inara and the shepherd. He wanted to call him the reverend, but he's not a reverend. The shepherd. How long it took me to answer.
Yeah.
I get Book, right? Is his name?
Yes.
Yeah.
Book, and I don't know. She's like, she's super chill, and she knows what she's doing in terms of like being the engineer of the ship.
Well, Kaylee to me is like, I feel like most shows you have your comedic sidekick, or I call it like the heart of the show.
Yeah, yes. She's the heart.
She's the heart, and it's like in Buffy. They used to do the put Willow in peril thing.
Yeah.
Which is like, you know, because Willow was so innocent. She is...
Protect.
Protect. So I feel like that's Kaylee. And those always end up being my favorite characters.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because I just love your baby.
Yeah. And you can see that with Mal, like the way that he cares so much about her.
Yeah.
But my favorite character is Simon, because Simon is me.
We are lovers!
Yes!
Okay. Wait, spoiler alert?
No.
Well, no, really. She already expressed interest in this episode.
In Simon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That went totally over my head. I didn't catch that at all.
No, she definitely did.
She was totally
drunk on drugs. Yeah,
drunk on love.
I honestly missed that. Like, and this is the second time I watched it, I still missed it. I don't know who I'd be. I don't know if I'd be anyone on the ship.
River is the best also. Like, in terms of... Right. She's fascinating.
Yes. She's a great character.
Yeah. And, like, humorous and sad at the same time. Yeah.
Is it bad that I kind of like Jane a little? No, Wash is pretty good, too.
You can like whoever you want.
Let me tell you something. Jane's all of these characters are so good. Like, I could read a book simply on one of these characters.
Yes, I agree. Mm-hmm.
And it would be, like, a really meaty novel, and, like, there would be lots of stuff, and it would be really interesting.
It would be wonderful. There's only fan fiction for that.
So, I asked you guys this, I think, when we were watching, but, like, why didn't they try to attack the Reaver ship? Is it, like, it's, like, can't, like, it's useless? Like, I don't...
I think there's too many. You know, you can't predict how many are on there.
Oh, but you mean from the ship?
Attack the ship itself.
Oh, because Firefly class is so small.
Oh, it's not capable
and
of...
It's not really a fighting...
Right. It's too lightweight. Okay, that makes sense.
And also, I feel like... I mean...
Reavers are dangerous.
I was going to say, Reavers, the way...
You don't want to provoke them.
I don't know if it's spoilery, but, like, Reavers, there is just no...
There's no escape.
Wild. Like, there is no...
It's like me at a party.
You're not wild at a party. But, like, I guess I really want to learn more about the Reavers, because
you gotta watch the rest of the show.
Right. Understood.
That's probably why I love Serenity, is the backstory of the Reavers.
True. That's
my
pretty
favorite
good.
Thing about Serenity is the movie is that whole backstory. I love that.
Because I'm always curious about, like, how are you so, I guess, wild and savage or whatever, but you can still operate a spaceship?
It works.
I'm sure it does. I'm looking forward to learning more, because I do want to watch Firefly, because, I was supposed to finish it, and I never did. I literally opened the packaging of the DVD this morning for the first time, like, and you handed it to me wrapped in, like, 2015 or something.
That is correct.
Or maybe earlier. So I will...
I think it was 2015.
Pretty sure it's 2015. So it's been 2 years. So I gotta finish watching. I mean, there's still that Bollywood movie that I still haven't finished watching from 2015 or 2014.
We're bad with finishing everything.
That's true.
That is the end of our life.
I don't have any other notes on Firefly. Do you guys have any topics you want to discuss before we wrap up?
I could go on and on about Firefly for so long. Even just the first episode. As I was watching, I was like, oh, I could talk about this, and I could talk about this, and I love this moment and this moment. And it's almost too much to even, like, think about talking about, because there's so many moments that I... love.
Mm.
I love Mal's interaction with Badger.
Yeah.
Like, it's so... You know, you see Mal in a position of, like, weakness, essentially, for the first time, where he isn't the strongest, most powerful one in the room, and the way that he deals with that.
Well, I mean, theoretically, he was at a disadvantage after his crew resistance abandons him. In the very beginning of the episode. The very, very beginning.
Yeah, but that doesn't count.
Okay.
Because he's always in power in the ship, like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he's still kind of in power there. He's, like, the, you know, the highest ranking person there still. Even though he's in a bad place. But, I mean, he's...
I could... Yeah.
Yeah, you what?
I could talk for hours about Mal. I just think he is so fascinating. Because of, like, all the characters, really. But, like, him as a leader. Because, like, he has his own, like, morals, his own honor code. But yet he's still a douchebag, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I forgot that he calls Inara a whore right in the middle, like, when she's introduced, and I was like, excuse me?
Right?
That is rude.
Rude. But, you know, but he protects Kaylee when Jane is the douchey.
Yes.
So.
Yeah.
You know, he's...
He has an interesting...
Yeah.
Moral code.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we ever really know what happened, what his life was like before the war. But...
But, it, yeah, he has a strict moral code, which it means you can respect him even if you don't respect every decision he makes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, he's a really phenomenally written character who's really deep. And slight transition. Oh, no, that's not true. Extreme transition. You know, sci-fi in color.
Yeah.
We do... have some people of color on the ship.
Zoe and Book.
And Book, yes. And we do have some very strong female characters.
Yes.
And I just, I think if
I do like Zoe a lot.
Oh, yeah.
She's awesome.
I love at the end where she's like, she has permission to leave. Yes. Where she needs Wash to tear off all her clothes.
And work.
Yeah.
I feel like we don't get too much from Zoe. Like, we know some backstory, like, of her and Mal. But, yeah, I don't know. I hope we get more from her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Actually, to go to Book for a second, I don't know how I feel about him. Because I think the first time I watched with him, I kind of sympathized with him. I was like, yeah, this is a lot for you to go through. Like, course of, like, what, 48, 72 hours? But at the same time, I think, again, maybe since I was a little bit more awake this time when I watched it, I was like, wait, you've been out of the Abbey for 2 days or 3 days or whatever, but wait, has he never left the Abbey, like, in his life? Because
Did you see that man take down the other guy, the fight?
That's true. Ooh, backstory.
Everyone has hidden depths.
Backstory. Yeah. I mean, maybe they're fighting in, like, monk school or whatever. But, like,
into the Badlands.
Right? But, yeah, I was like, okay, so that clears it up. But I was like, wait, he literally never has, like, how does this, because you do get that whole idealism thing when he's walking around in the port and he's like, this is so cool. And it's like, we're here to destroy your dreams, old man. Like, basically.
Oh, and I will just say this as well for it. There is more, like, age diversity.
Oh, yeah.
As compared to, let's say, Dark Matter, where everyone is basically the same age.
Yeah.
I feel like most shows are like that, you know, where there's, like, there aren't older people or younger people. It's just, like, they're all middle-aged or whatever.
Or, yeah, they're all, like, in that late generic, like...
Late 20s.
Yes, exactly.
To late 30s, generic, middle.
Yeah, whatever. The middle time of your...
Yes.
Which isn't really the true middle, but
no.
For TV it is.
For the TV it is, yeah. But, yeah, you've definitely got people in different stages of their life.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting.
Which is, I appreciate, yeah.
Yeah.
Also, the theme song.
Oh, yes.
Theme song's so good.
It's so good.
I was like, I love it. It's such a great definition of the show. Like,
yes.
What is this show about? And what does it sound like? What is the, like, tone of the show? Mm. Listen to this song.
That's everything.
It's so perfect.
Yeah.
And when the music came on again, when I was rewatching it, I was just like, it's time for me to rock out.
Did you?
Yes. And I watched it quite late at night, too. But the music is so good. It really embodies what Firefly is. Everything in the show feels like it's working towards a collective whole.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's all working, like, they're all gears working towards the same image, the same dream of what Firefly should be.
There's no sense, like, these writers don't know what they're doing. They know what they're doing.
No, everyone knows what they're doing. and I just, like, you know, the writers and the everyone who's the
people
at, yeah,
like, working on production. Yeah,
everyone yeah. has, like, the same idea of what this is supposed to be.
Yeah.
And it really...
Which feels rare.
No, yeah, I was about to say that. I was trying to think of another show that was like that, and I really can't think of one that is so consistent with its, like, its tone and the way it's it wants to be perceived. I keep thinking of Once Upon a Time and how bad that is at it.
You brought that on yourself. You can stop watching it anytime.
No, I can't. But they're, you know, they're changing everything up in the next season. How can I not watch the next season? At least
that's how they get you.
I'm curious how they'll do it, but I may be giving it up finally.
You never will.
Gotta kick the habit.
I know. I watched Glee to the end.
Yes, I gave up, but
I cared too much.
You cared too much. You figured you made it all this far.
Right, exactly.
It's a sunk cost fallacy.
Exactly.
All right. Well, any more final? I know you could talk forever, but like any like final like last minute things you really, really, really want to discuss.
I really like how there are, it's not in this episode, but there's some actors who come in later episode who get famous afterwards, and they're like, oh, hello there. It's that's kind
it's a
of
fun surprise.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's funny to watch how the careers of everyone who is the main cast yeah. in Firefly has progressed, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like Nathan Fillion obviously has really hit it big.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
A lot of them have basically stayed in the sci-fi circuit, so they do a lot of cons, they do a lot of, like, cameos on other sci-fi shows. Mm-hmm. Like, Sean Mayer, like, is, like, he's in, like, everything.
Well, yeah. Hold up, isn't
Jules Saint was in yeah. Supernatural?
Doesn't the guy who plays Wash, wasn't he in Frozen? And
oh, yeah, now he's basically mostly doing voice acting. And so, yeah, he was in Frozen, he did voices in Zootopia, in Moana, so he's had a very successful career. I mean, you don't want to see his face. Oh,
and
Wreck-It Ralph.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Well, I was going to say Summer Glau.
Summer Glau.
She is everywhere.
Is she?
Oh, yes.
What's she been in recently?
She is, like, nerd queen. I don't know. I just know, like, she'll pop up in an episode.
Yeah.
And you'll be like, oh, yeah, the nerds know.
Like. Yeah, the nerds are going to descend on this one. No, but yeah, she's been around, too. And mm-hmm. she's... I remember her when I... Well, I didn't first see her in Angel, but when that was the first time, mm-hmm. she was, like... She had a part. She was playing, like, a ballerina in Angel.
Yes. I first saw her in Terminator, the Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Oh, wow.
Like, her face seems so familiar, but I'm, like... I never... Like, I feel she's been playing main characters now.
No, yeah. I mean, she was the main character there. That's the only time I've seen her as a character. But most of the time, she's a guest star, and I'm like, I know you.
Yeah, they're big into the guest star mm-hmm. life.
Mm-hmm. Other people like and enjoy Firefly as well, so...
Yeah, I mean, they're big people in the sci-fi community.
Yeah.
And, you know, will they ever go back into Firefly?
I also love... They all... They're not ashamed of their Firefly... past.
It didn't, the show didn't go long enough for that to happen.
Yeah. But I mean, like, even so, you could still be part of one season of a show. So.
We have to bleep that out.
Oh, sorry.
No, but I get it. Because they're all so proud of it. Mm-hmm. They love their fans and, like, they're totally game
That's
for
nice.
Cons. And
yes.
Like, you'll hear them at cons, like, calling each other, mm-hmm. and, like, that you know that they...
They loved that experience.
They had a really wonderful experience together.
That's nice.
And, like, obviously, like, people lie about that, like, right after, like,
right,
the show finishes.
Right, then you don't want to, you know, start...
But, like, it's been a long time. They definitely could have dropped it by now. Like, they genuinely enjoyed this experience.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of them continued working on Joss Whedon projects.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have Jane, Adam Baldwin, I think. Yeah, he was there. You know, Summer Glau is still doing Joss Whedon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they get around the sci-fi circuit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, Dollhouse. Yeah. Had a lot of them in it. Dollhouse. Moment of silence for Dollhouse. Okay, that's enough. That's enough.
Okay. So I guess... That's it.
I mean, yes.
Episode.
I mean,
I
could go on for longer,
forever,
but let's
never,
not.
But let us not. So, yeah, thanks, Angie, for coming onto our show.
Thanks for having me.
And I guess we'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Bye-bye.